Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles in your hand, stand with me, Hebrews and chapter 1. We don't know for sure who the writer of Hebrews is. We know the author is definitely God. We understand what being verbally inspired of God is, and this is part of the canon. The style is Pauline. The temple was still in existence. We see that in Hebrews in chapter 10. It was written from Rome. Paul was in Rome at that time. So I lean towards thinking Paul was the writer that God used for the book of Hebrews. Can't be dogmatic because we're not told this in this passage of Scripture. And the purpose of the letter to the Hebrew Christians is to settle them down, to ground them. I'm talking about Jewish, talking about Hebrew believers, first century saints, and also to encourage them to not go back, to the empty rituals and empty religion and the ceremonial law. It's there to settle us and to encourage us as well. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Let's just stop right there. Father, God in heaven, would you take over this morning in the service? God, take over in the preaching. I've got five specific points, five specific passages, and others besides. Can't be fit in the 25 minutes that we have. So God, I'm asking, and those, I pray there are those in my presence right now asking that they would hear and they would get, and I would as well, exactly what you desired preached this morning. I've prepared. I've asked for the Holy Spirit to infill me. God, would you help it to be a message of encouragement and a message of hope? And Jesus, we ask that you would be exalted in all of it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Five specific truths about Jesus Christ found in the book of Hebrews, this letter that is written to Jewish born-again believers in the first century. Now, there are a lot more than five, because really you could preach, this book could be titled The Superiority of Jesus Christ. There's a lot more than five, but I can divide up into five major ones, and there's all kinds of other ones that are like fingers, and they're all interwoven together. And I trust that it will be a blessing to you this morning. It says, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, talking about Old Testament, now we're New Testament, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. We read in John in chapter 1 and verse 14 that the Son, that part of the Trinity that became flesh, is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He has given to us the written Word of God that exemplifies and manifests. Bible preaching always exalts Christ. Bible preaching always points to the cross, the finished work of Jesus. The book of Hebrews is all about the superiority of Christ, the fact that he is the ultimate God. Let me give you a few things. Here's an outline for you guys that preach in the prison and other places. Here's a real quick outline in verses 1, found in verses 2 and 3. Number 1, Jesus is the Word. He speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. John chapter 1 and verse 14. In other words, he's authority. He's the heir, the Son of God. Romans and chapter 8, who have in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Number 3, he is creator. Colossians 1:6, by him all things were made. Colossians 1:16. Then go to verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's creator. He is the express image of God. Verse 3, he is the sustainer of life. Colossians 1 and verse 17, verse 3. He is our Savior. Ephesians 1:17, also in verse 3. It says here, here's the one I want to just emphasize and then get to my first point. It's all introduction. There's so much in the book of Hebrews. He is the express image of his person. Take your Bible real quickly and turn to John in chapter 14. John in chapter 14 and verses 8 through 10. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Philip said, God, Jesus, if we could only see the Father. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very Father, or for the very work's sake. And he goes on and expounds on this truth. He says, listen, you've seen me, Thomas. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Man, we are one. He is the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is, he's not only the Word of God, he's the authority. He's not only the heir of God, the only begotten Son of God. He's not only the Creator God, he is the express image of his person. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. He is the express image. Jesus, the Trinity is a little bit above my pay grade. I know there's a God the Father, I know, and I know him personally. And I know there's God the Son, and I know him personally. And I know there's God the Spirit, I know him personally. And they are one, the scripture says. A monotheistic God, one God, separate in office, one in essence, that's beyond human comprehension. But I know this, he is the express image. When we see Jesus, we're going to see the Father. Man, we experience the Holy Spirit today. When we see Jesus, we'll see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Man, what a day that is going to be. Jesus is all of that and more. That brings me to my first point. He is the ultimate God. You got to know this. Key words in the book of Hebrews. The word better. The words more excellent. The word greater. The express image of God. There's nobody bigger, nobody greater, nobody superior to Jesus Christ. Nobody deeper, nobody holier, nobody more powerful than Jesus Christ. The writer of the book of Hebrews is telling these, he's encouraging these first century Christians. He's telling them those that are born again, they put their faith in the finished work of the Jesus who died on the cross and shed his blood and made atonement for sin. He's telling them he is the ultimate God. No matter what smooth-tongued preacher or teacher comes down the highway later on, you remember that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. He is the glory of God. He is higher than the angels. He is higher than Abraham. He is higher than Moses. He tells us in the book of Hebrews, he is higher and better than the law. The law was just a picture of him. He fulfills all of it. Number one. Very simply put, he is the ultimate God. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He is the ultimate God. I want to say this at least one more time. I'm not mincing any words. I'm not confusing anything. I don't want anything to be cloudy. Jesus Christ is deity. He's God. What he did at Mount Calvary, he did for the sins of everybody that's ever walked the surface of this planet. He provided salvation. He is creator and he is savior, forever savior. He is the ultimate God. Anything less is man-made. Anything less is something that was invented or somehow evolved. There's a doctrine right from the pit of hell. Somehow, kind of grew. God has never grown. He is the absolute God. You say, preacher, I don't think I can comprehend that. You're right. And neither can I. But he is so real to me in my life. I have the written word of God that bears him true again and again and again. And God's spirit bears witness with my spirit. This is what separates us from all the religions of the world. We have an authority. Right here. 66 books that never contradict themselves. 66 books, and there's a scarlet cord that runs from Genesis to Revelation. It always says there's one way to heaven, and that is the blood atonement. That is the atonement and the salvation that Jesus Christ has made and appropriated and paid for this world. Oh, he is the ultimate God. Amen. Ultimate. Number two, he's our great high priest. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, talking about salvation, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That word great, it speaks of mega high priest. There's nobody bigger than Jesus. Look at the end of chapter 4. Go down to verse 15. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest that is always there, and he understands. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he is our advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a mediator with the Father. It is his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, he fulfills that office of a high priest. We don't need earthly high priests. We don't need earthly priests of any kind. We don't need Levitical priests. We don't need priests after the order of Aaron. We have a high priest that took the blood of Calvary and sprinkled it at the mercy seat of heaven and made atonement for every man, every woman, and every child that will repent of their sin and come by way of the Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's a beautiful thing. The load that you're carrying today, Christ understands. The heartache, the confliction, he knows all about it. And he invites us to boldly come to the throne of grace. That's the priesthood of the believer. That's another doctrine that's all over the New Testament. Priesthood of the believer. In other words, I have access to the Holy of Holies, to the very throne of God, because of our great high priest who is seated there in the heavens. Melchizedek, well, I was going to look at it. We're going to speed up, so we're not going to do that. He was a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture, but Jesus is our great high priest forever. Amen. Go to Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 10, let me just read verse 11. And every high priest, or every priest rather, standeth, talking about the Old Testament Levitical priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, right? Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. You understand? They're a picture of these sacrifices. But this man, speaking of Jesus, talking about Jesus being better, right? Being superior. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstools, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He is our great high priest. Jesus doesn't have to go back to Calvary. There doesn't need to be another Savior crucified. We don't need to ring a little bell and crucify him anew and afresh. He finished the work of the cross. He is no longer on the cross. He rose again on the third day. He ascended on into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God as our great high priest. As our advocate, as our mediator. You see, that's better than the law. That is better than the Old Testament sacrifices. That is better than the Old Testament priests that offer the same sacrifices. That's what Hebrews says, over and over and over again. Man would sin, and over and over. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the blood atonement was made and sprinkled at the mercy seat. But you see, it was all a picture. Go to Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians and chapter 3. As soon as I find it myself, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, this is dovetailing into the third thing. I said, number one, we have Jesus is the ultimate God. He is it. He is the God. I say it reverentially. He is everything, right? He's the ultimate God. Number two, he is our great high priest. Number three is our rest. Amen. Our Sabbath. Before I read that, It says in verse 24, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to the Savior. I recognize I'm a sinner because of the Decalogue, because of the Ten Commandments, because I can never measure up, and neither could the Old Testament priests. That's why there were so many of them, and they just kept coming and coming, and they worked hard, but it was never enough. It was just a picture of the one day when the Lamb of God would come and present himself a sacrifice for the entire world to bring us unto Christ. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Let me just stop right there. One of the things I said, the purpose of the book of Hebrews, the second purpose was so that these Jewish believers wouldn't go back to their Old Testament religion because it's empty. It was just a picture. That was just a model. That was just symbolic of who Jesus is. He came, fulfilled the law on Mount Calvary, rose again the third day. Now, as born again believers, we are invited to enter into that rest that is found in Jesus. He is our rest. That's what the book of Hebrews says. You say, oh, we need to keep the Sabbath. Well, number one, the Sabbath is only one of the Ten Commandments not mentioned in the New Testament, and that's because it's ceremonial law, right? He fulfilled it. Understand this statement. This is so deep, and you got to study this. It's rich. Jesus is our Sabbath. We have been told to enter into this rest. This is the rest that the world knows nothing about. They really have no understanding concerning. I think it's chapter 10 in Hebrews. Go back there. Hebrews chapter 10. And maybe it is not. Oh, it's chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verses 1 through 10. I'm just going to read it quickly. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us, that's the gospel, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In other words, the fear is you wouldn't get born again. The fear is that some of these people that read the letter to these first century Christians would not really get saved. They'd understand the gospel, but they'd never get saved, never really enter into that rest. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. Said, now's the time. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not for afterward have spoken of another day? You understand, when David wrote this, when David spoke of this, Calvary hadn't taken place yet. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Jesus is our rest. Here's the deal. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the ceremonial law, which is all a picture of Jesus. He fulfilled the righteous, the moral law, again, a picture of Jesus. We're accountable to try to fulfill or obey the moral law. But the ceremonial law was all pictures. And here's what people were doing. Hebrews in chapter 6. They were going back to Old Testament Judaism. He's saying, what are you doing? And he ends the book by saying this. I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. Don't go back to ritual. Don't go back to the model, to the symbolism, when we have the real deal. His name is Jesus Christ. Don't go back to, this might shock you, but nowhere in the Bible does it talk about lighting candles. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about wearing robes. Nowhere in the Word of God does it speak to ritual in the New Testament. None! Because the Old Testament ceremonies were pictures of Jesus. And in faith, they performed those ceremonies. But then Jesus came, the Messiah, the Son of God. He went to Calvary. He paid for our sin. He is our great high priest in heaven. And these first century Christians, Jewish Christians, some of them wanted to do something. They wanted to go back. Our faith is not tied to place or practice, but to a person, Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate God. He's our great high priest. He's our rest. Anybody who wants to go back to some religion, where would you be without Jesus? Now, where would you be? Ritual is not the answer. Jesus is. He's our refuge. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. I'm almost done. I'm about almost out of time too, but I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 through 28. Overabundant grace. And he is there for us. It says in verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That means the last places that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Our great high priest. He's always there. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's Jesus. That's the ultimate God, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the peoples. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Himself, the perfect Lamb of God. The Old Testament high priests, they had to offer sacrifices for their own sins. They were just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're all in the same boat. But Jesus, he's the ultimate God. He went to the cross. He paid for our sin. He's our great high priest. And it only took one time. One time. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, in the earthly tabernacle, there was no chair. Priests never sat down. The work wasn't done. Jesus offered himself one time. And it's done. You talk about eternal security? I got it. Amen. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, you hit me on the head with a ball peen hammer. It don't matter. I'm telling you. Ain't going to change my mind. Might make me a little smarter, but it ain't going to change my mind. I know where my faith rests. It's in the finished work of the cross. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, and I have his righteousness. Whoa, because he's my high priest. He's my mega high priest. Great high priest. Verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, sins. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. He is my eternal rest, my eternal refuge. He's my rock. The word rock is used to describe God 59 times in the scriptures. It's used to describe Christ 24 times in the Psalms alone. Proverbs 18 and verse 10 refers to him as our tower of strength, our shelter, our shield, our refuge. 88 times in the Bible, he's referred to as our refuge. Psalm 46, turn there real quickly. I'm almost done. If you just hold with me now. Psalm 46, verse 1. I get excited when you start thinking and pondering and talking about Jesus and his goodness to us. You talk about the old time religion. Man, salvation is of grace. It's of mercy. I don't have to merit God's love. I don't have to somehow measure up. I don't have to get his attention. Hey, I'm down here. I'm in the eastern end of the upper peninsula. Man, I'm down here, God. You know, that's not how it works. He died for the sins of the world, and he knows exactly who I am and exactly who you are. You know why? He's omnipotent and he's omniscient. He is the ultimate God. It says also in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He goes on in verse 7 and says, the Lord of hosts, he is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth, whether the heathen want it or not. The day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts, he is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. It's a crazy world we're living in. Man, heads of state, our political leaders, getting up and saying, men can get pregnant. And I know exactly what they're saying. They're talking about transgenders. And people agreeing with it. And people sitting there in Congress just kind of nodding their head and agreeing with it. And I'm thinking, what? This is a crazy world we live in. But there's a refuge. He's our rock. And he never changes. And time is flying by. Are you aware of that? You know that next weekend is Memorial Day weekend? Let me tell all you old people that are always complaining, always saying time is flying. I'm one of them. Man, it just flies by. Just slips through our fingers. Embrace it. Right. It's Memorial Day weekend next week. Embrace it. Redeem the time. Live whatever time you got for the glory of God. Embrace it. Don't fret about, man, my life's almost gone. And I got to tell you the truth. When you get older, you think about those things, right? And I hope I got another 20 years. I hope I got another 10. I'd be happy with another Sunday. We'll see what happens, all right? But embrace it. Time is fleeting. It's flying by. But we got a great God in heaven. Amen. He's the ultimate God. He's not a man-made God. He wasn't born in Mecca. He wasn't born in Rome. You know, he wasn't born in America. He wasn't born in a jungle somewhere. He is the ultimate God. Amen. And he's our great high priest. And he's the rest that we enter into. The writer of Hebrews said, we have a rest that the world knows nothing about. They're struggling. They're trying to gain merit with God. Come to Jesus. He's our refuge. One more thing, and I won't belabor it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Go to Romans or Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews and chapter 12. He is A to Z, beginning to end. Revelation 1:8, he is the Alpha and Omega, first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. He is the author, he is the source, and the finisher. He completed it at Mount Calvary. And then he sent God the Holy Spirit, and he's building his church. It says in verse 2 of Hebrews in chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then he goes to Hebrews in chapter 13, and I think it's verse 22, and he says, I beg you, I'm trying to encourage you, first century Hebrew, born again Christians, first century saints that make up the church. Don't, no matter how attractive it is, no matter how weak your faith is, don't go back to the ceremony. The ceremony is empty. Religion is not the answer for America. It is Jesus Christ that is the answer. And I ask you this question here this morning, right now, before I pray. Is Jesus Christ your great high priest? Amen. Is he your savior? You know he's the creator. You understand that only in him is there rest and only in him is there refuge. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the source of all that is good. You understand all that, but is he your savior? Have you been born again? Was there a time in your life when you prayed and asked Jesus Christ, a God-conscious moment where it was just you and him, and you prayed and you asked Jesus for forgiveness of sins and that he would be your savior once and for all? If you have not done that, I invite you to that rest that can only be found in the ultimate God, the great high priest, our rock, the author and the finisher of our faith. Book of Hebrews is all about exalting Christ, superior than, more excellent than, better than, the ultimate God, the express image of his person. You want to know God the Father? You must know God the Son.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.